Well, let's look at how God solves it. First, let's look at the biblical terminology. Two major Old Testament texts present us with the skeleton of the doctrine of justification. The first is Genesis 15, verse 6, taken from Israel's great patriarch, Abraham. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. The New Testament quotes or paraphrases this text 5 times as the foundation of its doctrine of justification by faith. 3 times in Romans 4 alone. Now, the noun, tsarka, righteousness, implies conformity to the nature and the will of God. Conformity to the nature and will of God. Genesis 15, verse 6, states that Abraham gave God firm confidence in the covenant promise, whereupon God credited righteousness to Abraham. The second text, Psalm 32, 1 and 2, Paul expounds in Romans 4 as well, Romans 4, 6 through 8. And in this text, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, etc. David stresses that justification involves 3 movements, as it were, on God's part, 3 aspects. First, God forgives. He forgives. The word here, the verb nasa, denotes to lift up, or to bear, or to carry away. God carries away sins that miss the mark, miss his target of purity and of holiness. God also, secondly, covers or conceals. The verb kasa connotes that God blankets our failures such that they are never seen again. And then thirdly, God does not count these sins against us. Does not count them against us. Lo hasab. Justification means that through God's gracious action, this debt of iniquity is no longer reckoned to our account. But instead, God lays the guilt and punishment upon his Son and pronounces believers innocent and righteous in his sight. Now, in the New Testament, the language is, of course, much more explicit. The Greek verb corresponding to the Hebrew is the verb dikaio, dikaio, which means to acquit or to declare righteous, or simply to justify. Dikaio occurs 40 times in the New Testament. The adjective dikaios occurs 80 times, and the various forms of nouns occur 102 times. So what was infrequent in the Old Testament has become very common in the New. Paul especially deals with justification, doesn't he? And he makes very plain that he views it as God's sovereign act of declaring a sinner to be righteous, to be in the right, literally. Romans 2, verse 13 is an example. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. In the context of a judicial trial and verdict, Romans 3, verse 20 says that by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So in the light of biblical language, we can define justification like this. God's gracious legal verdict towards sinners, forgiving their sins, and declaring them eternally righteous through the imputation of Christ's righteousness, when they, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, believe in Christ exclusively as Savior. I'll read it again. God's gracious legal verdict towards sinners, forgiving their sins, declaring them eternally righteous through the imputation of Christ's righteousness, when, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, they believe in Christ as exclusive Savior. Now, I want to C3 in the outline, provide you a bit, flesh this out a bit more, with some biblical evidence for this forensic character, this judicial character of justification. Justification is a forensic or judicial category. It has a judicial status about it. It's not simply making someone righteous, not sanctification leading into justification, but it's a judicial statement, a declaring righteous by a judge. And we can prove that through several ways. Number one, the term justified is used in the Bible on a number of occasions with reference to various judgments where the Roman Catholic idea of making righteous rather than declaring righteous simply could not apply. The best example here would be when the term is applied to God himself. God cannot be made righteous. He is righteous. Job 32, verse 2, when Elihu's wrath was kindled, he justified himself rather than justifying God. So there you have the thought of justifying God. And in Luke 7, verse 29, all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. So it's impossible to think of making God holy, isn't it? God is just. Secondly, justification is used often in Scripture as an antonym to condemnation. And therefore, justification cannot be an operation, but it must be a declaration. To condemn does not mean to make wicked. And so to justify does not mean to make righteous. And I'll let you look up some of these references for time's sake, but 1 Kings 8, verse 32 shows the parallelism between condemnation and justification. And most explicitly, in the New Testament, Romans 5, verse 16, and Romans 8, 33 and 34. Thirdly, there are expressions which are used in Scripture in correlation with the word justify, that imply a declarative act of judgment. I'll just give you one of them. Psalm 143, verse 2. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no living man shall be justified. So here, enter not into judgment is clearly a forensic category. Other texts that you might want to look up, Romans 3, 19 and 20. And Romans 8, verse 33. Now, all of this will come more to the foreground as we look at the next section, the elements of justification.